Thank you, Jesus. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Faithful one, so unchanging. You're my rock of peace, Lord of all, I depend on you. Hallelujah. I call out to you again and again. Hallelujah. I call out to you again and again. You're my rock. You are my rock. In times of trouble, you lift me. God, He will never fail us.
He will never disappoint us. He's too consistent to do that, too loving to do that. I'd like for us to just sing that song for a moment. God, who will not fail us, who will not disappoint us. I don't know what you may be going through right now, but the Lord has a word for you this morning. You may be listening online. God has a word for you today. He wants you to know that He's invested so much inside of you. There's no way you're going to fail. You're going to break through every situation and shine brightly because His grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Realize that today. Thank you, Jesus.
You're too faithful to fail me. You're too faithful to disappoint me.
Yes.
Proving yourself in my life. And I've come to realize that you're too faithful to fail me.
You're too faithful to fail me.
You're too faithful to disappoint me.
My soul longed after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. My friend, and you're my brother.
Oh.
Praise the Lord. Serve an awesome God who's worthy of all praise, worship, and adoration. Father, we are thankful for the wonderful opportunity granted us to come before your throne room. We recognize that without you we are nothing. You give meaning to us. Lord God Almighty, we receive your love. We receive, O God, the fervency of your grace operational in our lives. We ask, Father, that you will help us as we go through each day. For Lord, O God, we do not know what is ahead of us. But this we do know, that you know what is behind, what is present, what is future. And that you are well able to order our steps. Lord, we surrender our lives to you. And we ask, O God, that you possess us wholly, completely. So, Lord, O God, that every moment that we live, be lived in a way that honors and glorifies you, causes us, O God, to be a testimony of your glorious loving kindness and goodness, as you use our lives to demonstrate your power over all things. Thank you, Lord, that anything, O God, in our lives that will sabotage your purpose, that grace, mercy will kick into place and eradicate such things. For all we are and all we can ever be, it's possible only by the workings of your grace in us. Help us now, every one of us, to make the right decisions so that your name may be exalted. Fight for us, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Well, we are in the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And we've just come through discussing the giftings of grace that are operational in helping us as the Church of Jesus Christ to be people that are steadfast in faith. Talk about the fivefold graces God gave to the church, that of the apostle, that of the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, teacher. And their particular workings in our lives. First primary purpose of those giftings, we found out, was for the perfecting of saints, for the work of the ministry, the maturing of saints, that's every one of us, for the work of the ministry, the work of the ministry, the work of service. It is also for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ, so that we come into the unity of the faith. Come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So these giftings that God has given to the church is to help us come to the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, we do know that one of the primary roles of the Holy Spirit is to bring us into that knowledge, to bring us into remembrance, to reveal to us what God is doing. So then it goes to state then that these primary gifts are to help us connect with the flow of the Holy Spirit. That the apostolic grace, the prophetic grace, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, they are supposed to help us connect with the Holy Spirit, get to know the Holy Spirit. Any teaching that is taking you away from connecting with the Holy Spirit is not doing what that particular calling is meant for. And this is to bring us onto what the Word of God says, onto a perfect man, a mature person. So the giftings of the Holy Spirit that is given to the church is to bring us to the place where we are perfected, where we are growing, where we are changing. We are growing onto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Wow, incredible. These teachings, this prophetic, apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic, pastoral teaching graces are meant to help us grow into who Jesus is, into the awesomeness of the Lord. Amazing. The question then is the teaching that we are getting today in the church making us more Christ-like? Or is it making us more world-like? The message of grace that is being taught, is it making us more Christ-like? Or is it making us more world-like? And pretending that grace means that we cannot be like Christ says we should be. So grace covers up. Well, the Word of God goes on. It says, if it's not doing that, then this is what's going to happen. It says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I heard a teacher of what I would call an erroneous representation of grace teaching that the church is not meant to teach doctrine. Oh, man. If the church doesn't teach doctrine, what is the church meant to teach? We should have more people teaching the doctrine of the kingdom of God so that people understand what it is all about. What is the doctrine of God's word concerning salvation? What is the doctrine of God concerning the gifts? What is it concerning end times? You know, understanding. We're living in a time right now where people are not sure what to do because there's no understanding of the doctrine, the Word of God. Doctrine is all about the Word of God. You see, if you don't have your apologetics, which is the defense of doctrine, in proper order, you will always live your life apologizing. says, we're not meant to be tossed to and fro, not sure. When you are tossed to and fro, you become unstable in all of your ways because you lack wisdom and you lack faith. You don't have the boldness, the audacity to ask God for anything, recognizing and knowing that you will receive it because you don't have that doctrine of faith. What the Word of God says about faith. And so then you can easily be deceived. But the Word of God says, but speaking the truth in love, speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things. Speaking the truth in love may grow up. Huh? So the proper teaching of doctrine causes people to grow up into him in all things, which is the head. We grow up into Him, even Christ. God wants us to grow up. And in our growing up, becoming more and more like Him. Now from Christ, when we grow up into Him, from Him, the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted. What is that all about? It's saying that the less mature we are, the less we are connected. That the sign that we are really operating in the love of God and that we are growing into Him is that we become of service one to the other. We bring our giftings because the gifts are growing in us and the gifts want to be service to others so that other people can benefit from the glory and the fruitfulness that God has operated in our lives. So the idea is not about me competing with somebody else. The idea is about me becoming more like Him so that I present more of Him tomorrow than I can present today. That every day I'm meant to grow into Him. Grow into Him. Now, that growing into Him is going to cause us to be fitly joined together. What is the idea? If you can imagine it, let's look at a puzzle again. You have the puzzles all on a table, but these pieces, each piece is meant to grow. At a particular moment, they are loose, but as they grow, let's give life to these puzzle pieces. As they grow, they fit together. And they keep on pushing to each other until there is no space. It's airtight. Nothing can break it. A body that the enemy can penetrate into and force out and break out and destroy is a body that's not fit in love. And they are not fitted in love because the ministry gifts, the fivefold ministry gift, has not effectively taught them to grow. Now, what does that mean to us in real terms? It means that if there is growth possible and we need to be compacted, it means that because somebody's not where they are supposed to be right now does not mean that they should be discarded. It means that we need to speak love into them so that they continue to grow. There are people that may be in church and, their attitudes may be just off. and you just want to just toss them away and don't say nothing to them, you know, blah, 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 and so, so forth. But love can change that particular person, and they get better and better. They may be cantankerous, but they're becoming less and less, less and less, less and less. They used to fly off of the handle and fight everybody, but they're becoming less and less of that. Because you just keep on just loving them anyway. You know, just pouring the love of God into them, listening to them, whatever it is that you need to do that they need that will help them grow. You do what you need to do. Because sometimes we get frustrated with people too quickly. And in our frustration and not listening to them, not giving them any attention at all, they rather than growing and becoming closer and willing to do better, they keep on shrinking. But that's what God wants. God is not calling us to shrink. God is calling us to grow. He says, joined together and compacted. Compacted. You know, every time I see that word compacted, I think about things that are beat down so that molecules, you know, get tighter and tighter and tighter so you can put more and put more. And you compact it and you compact it. And the more compacted it is, the harder it becomes. God wants us to be compacted so that we become tough. Amen? Compacted by that which every joint supplieth. The compaction is happening because every joint is supplying and they are getting tighter and tighter because they're growing, they're supplying, they're giving what they have. And the giving of what I have and you giving what you have is what makes things come together. It's not about one person. If this one hand keeps on growing and keeps on growing, it will be over there and the rest of the body will be out of proper order. Everything growing together. That's what God wants. So while I'm praying, oh God, I want to grow in the things of your spirit, I should be praying for my brother and my sister. Lord, I ask, oh God, that my brothers and sisters will grow. Lord, oh God, let us all grow together. My pursuit of growth in the things of God is not just about me. The problem is that when I'm fasting, when I'm praying, when I'm doing whatever, I'm looking for me, myself, and I. God's perspective is not me, myself, and I. God's perspective is about let us. Let us. When he talked about creating somebody that was in his image and likeness, he said, let us. And God is in the us business. Us. I believe I must have preached a message about that. The blessing of us. A few years back. It's not just about me. It's us. Compacted by that which every joint supplied according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. It is the edifying of itself in love. As we bring what we've got to the table, everybody gets edified in love. That is the objective. So it goes on in verse 17. It says, this I say therefore, recognizing whatever it is that we've been talking about as true. He says, this I say therefore, and testifying the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. That is ungodly people. People that are not in the commonwealth of the family of God. He said, don't walk like they walk. How do they walk? They walk in the atmosphere of me, myself, and I. What am I going to get out of this? It's not about what am I going to give to make us better. What am I going to get out of this? What am I going to get? They walk in the vanity of their mind. They walk in the vanity of their mind. They're thinking about me, myself, and I. As believers, our pursuit is not about me, myself, and I. Our pursuit is what will benefit us all. Amen? You know, what can I bring? It doesn't matter whether my name is on the big sign or in lights. What can I bring to make things happen? How can I better things? What ideas do I have that will make things better? It's not, well, nobody listens to me anyway. Well, it's their thing. Let them do their thing. No, if you've got an idea that will make things better, bring it. Share it. Ultimately, we'll all enjoy it. Somebody's name might be the name attached to it, but that is not the issue. That's not the issue. The issue is, are we glorifying God? Are needs being met? Is ministry happening? That's what is important. Now, the Gentiles that walk in the vanity of their minds, the Bible says, it says, having the understanding darkened. The understanding. It didn't say their understanding. It says the understanding. Meaning that understanding is like something on the inside, a tool on the inside that is broken, that is messed up. He says, having the understanding darkened and being, present tense continuous, alienated from the life of God. They are alienated from the life of God. Alienated from the life of God. Through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. The blindness of their heart. The blindness of their heart causes people not to see beyond themselves. And God says, that should not be part of our MO. That should not be part of our story. They have the understanding darkened. They are alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, through the ignorance that is in them. Guess what? Bible says that the God of this world has blinded them that they might not see. So when the Word of God says the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, it's talking about satanic activity. Because it's Satan that blinds the God of this world. Meaning then that being alienated from the life of God means that they do not have God's life and therefore they have the devil's life. Because the God of this world blinds men so that they don't see. And so if they are ignorant, if there's ignorance in them, then there is satanic activity. It goes on, who being, present tense continuous again, past feeling, they become so hardened, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. They've given themselves over to lasciviousness. With all uncleanness, they gave themselves to lasciviousness. They gave themselves to unbridled lust. That's what lasciviousness is. They gave themselves to all work of uncleanness and to greediness, being past feeling. Well, sooner or later, we're going to find out that all of what has happened to our world this last 2 years has been because of people who are about themselves. Just about themselves, they're about their agenda, they could care less about what is happening to anybody else. As long as they can, you know, get whatever it is they want to get, everybody else can suffer. They could care less. I never thought I would see that kind of a mindset play itself out in the West. You know, those who are in so-called third world countries recognize this. You know, a politician can fill a 747 with all kinds of cash and money and fly it over to some other country. They steal and steal and steal and steal and steal, and their infrastructure is not there. They could care less whether the people have good roads or not, as long as their pocket is filled. Well, we've seen the same thing happening in the West now. People doing crazy things. Why? Because they've come to a place where they are past feeling. They are not about service. If you miss the point, let me get us back to the point. The giftings of the Holy Spirit ultimately is so that we can be of service one to the other. And if we're not serving each other, we are not doing what God wants done. Period. If you're just about yourself and how you're going to fill your pocket, well, I don't care how long you speak in tongues and how long you prayed, you're suspect. Life in God is about service. And our Lord Jesus Christ proved it when he left the glory of heaven and came to the earth just to serve us. And one of the last actions he took was, the Bible says, he recognizing from whence he came and to where he was going, got up, took a towel, took a basin of water, and began to wash the feet of his disciples. He said, the one that wants to lead has to learn the powerful key of being a servant. We're called to serve each other. Praise the Lord. He says, who been past feeling. Now, what does that mean? That means that you can be dubious and doing the wrong thing and be mouthing off as if you didn't do anything wrong. And we see that in our world today. People that are outright on the wrong, acting like they didn't do anything wrong. They're perfectly okay. Now it's your fault, not theirs. They did whatever it is they want to do and think they can get away with it because they are in that realm of greed. How much money can I get? How much? And it's never enough. He says, but ye have not so learned Christ. Simple. That's not what Christ taught you. you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him, if you've heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the former way of living, the old man, the whole issue of greed, of being blind, of being hardened, has to do with the old man, which is corrupt. It's corrupt according to the deceitful lust. It is corrupt because it's lusting in a way that thinks of itself and not for the whole. Now, what we do know is this, that the generation of the old man came about when Adam and Eve chose to doubt God and elected to believe the lies of the enemy. What was the lie they believed? That God was holding back on them. God did not have their best interest at heart. And that's the one lie the enemy needs to convince you of. God does not have your best interest at heart. He really doesn't care about you. He just cares about himself. If the enemy convinces you of that, then you have the conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. What was the old man lusting for? To be like God. But he was already like God. And so he elected to believe the lies of the enemy that told him that he was not exactly at par to that which God desired for him. When you believe that God has not blessed you, you create an atmosphere for the enemy to deceive. When you do not believe that God says that you are head and not tail, above only and not beneath, you create an atmosphere. When you do not believe that God has made provision for you, you create an atmosphere for confusion in your life. It will corrupt your thinking. It will corrupt your stance in life. It will corrupt your relationships. It will corrupt everything, because at that point, you're going to do whatever it is that you think you need to do to be the head that you don't believe God has made you, to get the provision that you do not believe God has given to you. And what is the result of that? Verse 23 says, we need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Change your thinking. Praise the Lord. Change your thinking. And when you change your thinking, this is what's going to happen. It says, and that he put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put on the new man. Discard the old man. Put on the new man, which after God, in the likeness of God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. You don't have to do anything to be that. You just receive it. You change. I personally can attest to this, because when I got saved, and I've shared now and then about my life before Christ, I lived a very corrupt life.
life, to say the least. You know, it was not a good life. When I got saved, I continued to live, but I lived the new life like it was my new normal. I did not know that I had changed. I didn't know. People around me identified that I had changed. Then it dawned on me that I had changed. But it was a total shift. One nature was gone, and a new nature was in. And now I'm functioning with this new nature, and separate from the old nature, and it was not a struggle. It was really not a struggle to change from living a sinful life to living the life of Christ. And I really seriously think that when a person changes, the change happens because they put on the new man. If you're trying to live righteous, live a holy life, you've not gotten rid of the old man. Let me say it again. If you're trying to live the new life that's in God, you've not gotten rid of the old man. Period. Because the new man does not struggle with the old issues. The new man is brand new. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. So, it is absolutely possible and actually should be the norm that one day you were drunk and the next day you're totally sober. One day you were a drug addict, and the next day you plain clean. That's what happened to me. There was no a little change here, I'm getting better and better. No, that's not what happened. What happened was there was a flip. And when that flip took place, this new life was my new normal. It is other people that were telling me now, you have changed. You used to this, but you're not doing that anymore. Guess how long it took for people to know that I had changed without me telling anybody. I had asked Jesus into my heart. Less than 3 days. It was so obvious in the community, something happened to that guy. He's changed. I didn't tell anybody I got saved. I didn't even tell the pastor who I wanted to punch right there in church. That should give you a quick sign of how bad I was. The guy is busy preaching to me. I want to punch him. Right there in church, I'm really mad. I'm gonna just pow. I was so mad I didn't even tell him I got saved. But I changed. God did that, and He's still in the business of doing that. Amen. But when we teach people that change is not possible, well, they're going to keep on struggling and struggling. Now, that does not mean that since I got saved, I've not done wrong things, acted wrongly, and whatever else. No. It just means that I have this new life, and with this new life, I can make godly decisions. But that does not mean I cannot make ungodly decisions. But when I make ungodly decisions, decisions that are not appropriate, there is a Spirit of God that convicts and says, don't go there. Don't do that. this is not what I told you. And so I have to repent and change my actions and do righteously. Those are decisions that we make in life every day. Every day we're tempted, everybody. Something comes and you think it's the big thing that's going to trip you. No, it's a very little thing that can trip you. And when you find yourself in that state, repent and go on. Be of service to others. Put off the old man and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, that has to do with the old man. Put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. In other words, if you're lying, you're lying to yourself. You're hurting the body. He says, be ye angry and sin not. So we find out here from the word of God that being angry does not mean that anger is not a sin, but anger that is not regulated can become sin. He says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now, what does that mean? Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. What it does not mean is, sundown is going to be at 7 p.m. and you're angry at 6:55, something happened, you got 5 minutes to be angry. And then at 7 o'clock, quit it. No. The idea is, don't get so angry that you shove it inside of you to the extent that you fail to know why you got angry in the first place. When the sun is shining on the situation, you know what it is. How many people are angry and do not know why they're angry? They have no clue why they're angry. I hate that person. Why do you hate them? I don't know, I just hate them. You're angry and you don't know why. You've allowed the sun to go down upon your wrath. Deal with it. Why? Because if you don't, you give place to the devil. He says, neither give place to the devil. Don't give the devil any room to operate. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Don't give him a foothold. If the enemy is trying to find a foothold, cut it off. Because if he takes that ground, he's going to take more. Let him that stole steal no more. If you're stealing, stop stealing. That's not serving anybody any good. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You see that? So don't steal. Get a job so that you have to give. So the reason we work is so that we have something to give. Because the true blessing is recognizing that God is your provider. God is the God who meets all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But your work is to give you seed to give, to minister to other people, to be of service to other people. They have a need for something. Here it is. This is my portion to help you with this. This is my portion to help you with that. And that's what drives us as it relates to work. Then it goes on and says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Notice these particular things that you have not so learned Christ. One, don't steal. Work so that you can be a giver. Three, don't allow any corrupt communication to proceed out of your mouth. Any filthy talk. But it's not just filthy talk. It's also about faithless talk. Don't let faithless talk come out of your mouth. What then should come out of my mouth? But that which is good to the use of edifying. Words that help to build up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. It will minister grace, God's ability, operational, God's giftings unto the hearer. So my talk with you should help build you up. Your talk to me should help build me up. I know sometimes we, you know, fool around and joke around and stuff like that, but that should be something that is very limited in terms of the idea, you know. It's like, how do you say? You know, sometimes you play wrestle with your kids and or friends and stuff like that, but it's not a fight. Okay, it's just, you, my buddy, get out of here. and you know what that means. It's not, he punched me, I'm going to punch him back. No, it's not that. Well, sometimes, but the Word of God warns about that and says, stop jesting. Stop joking around. Because of this particular aspect, you know, is what you're saying edifying? Is it edifying? Now, if I say something to somebody out of an endearment, I joke with a person, well, that may be an act of edifying in the sense that if he was not my friend, he wouldn't say that. That's my friend. That's my buddy. You know, sometimes I'd be joking with somebody about something, make a statement, and Mama would say, huh, you're very close to Papa now because he's joking like that with you. So it's edifying. Now, you have to measure that edifying from saying something that actually hurts somebody and tears them down. When it is not edifying and the person is not seeing any good coming out of it, you've crossed the line. Because ultimately what God wants us to do with each other is to build each other up, encourage each other. And if there's nothing to encourage, it's to speak the truth in love to their edifying so that they can grow, so that they can be whatever it is God wants them to be. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit of God? By corrupt words coming out of your mouth. By you speaking negativity into other people's lives. That grieves the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that seals us onto the day of redemption. So when you speak grievously into a person's life, the Holy Spirit grieves because you are saying to the Holy Spirit, you're not doing a good job. This person is never going to make it. He said, no, don't do that. Don't be speaking death into people's lives. Build up. Let all bitterness, we'll wrap up in just a moment, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Because these are all the things that help to grieve the Holy Spirit. Or talk, attitudes, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. Put it away with all malice. Get it out of the way. Because these things help to grieve the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, which is an outcry, a rebellious decry, when you and I do that and we cut off the activity of the Holy Spirit, the activity of God to bring correction into the situation, he says, we grieve the Spirit. Now, this grieving of the Spirit of God is doubting the ability of the Holy Spirit to help us or to help our community, the body of Christ, to be better. Let's bear that in mind. He says, this is what you need to do instead. Be ye kind one to another. Be tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Why do we forgive? Because they did something wrong. Even as God, for Christ's sake, had forgiven you. Even as God, for Christ's sake, because of Christ, I forgive you. God says we need to do the same thing. Because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, I forgive you. Because of the grace of God, I forgive you. God says, extend that to each other. Now, all of this goes back to the teaching and the grace that God gave when he gave us the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. And he's simply saying, if these are happening and people are responding to that and we're all growing into Christ, we will not go after each other and start tearing each other apart, but we'll rather love each other and allow the love of God to raise us up, elevate us, and cause us to grow, because we are not withholding and shrinking from giving, but rather we are doing the best, the utmost we can to give our best so that we are knit together. So tight, the enemy has no room to penetrate. We're a solid force by the Holy Spirit. We're watching out for each other. We're helping each other. We're glorifying God because of each other. We're upholding each other. We're speaking life to each other. We are seeing each one established. Because if others are not established, you and I are standing on shaky ground. I've got to do my best to make sure that you are the best that you can be. The best that you can be. The best that you can be. And in so doing, when I need your support, when I need your help, I get better. Let me wrap up with this. This year and last year, the church, the world, went through a difficult time. when I taught the Word of God and I followed the dictates of the directives of the Lord and ministered the Word of God to the masses, I was able to do so not only because I heard from God, but because of what has been fed to the body already. So in the midst of this upheaval that is facing the world, when you heard me say, the Lord is directing us to go and do whatever it is that we're doing here now, not because we got a loan from somewhere, not because we got grants from the government or whatever, or betrayed ourselves. We're doing it because the body is strong to do it. Your strength becomes my strength. My strength becomes your strength. We can't do anything that we're doing without everyone doing their part. Whatever it is that we've accomplished so far should cost us, I would say, 40 times more. But grace is sufficient because people are doing their part. A dear son was saying today, I saw something that he had in the banquet hall, and I was looking at it, and I was thinking, how did he find this stuff? Well, it was found because he's bringing his best to the body. And so because he's bringing his giftings and whatever it is God has given to him to the body, his eyes are able to see things. So when we need things done, there it is, there it is, there it is. What he doesn't have, he sees. And he brings it. And so it is for everyone who is faithfully serving. They're seeing things that other people don't see. They're seeing things that other people may say, that's junk. But they see more than junk. They see the treasure in there. And it all works. I was thinking the other day, maybe it was this morning, I came in here, and I was thinking about this curtain. How is it that that curtain fits exactly that space? There are pieces of that curtain. This curtain was much bigger than this, and but a certain segment was hung up in the rafters. Why? Maybe this one we can trade away. We will just put this one over here. What is the reason? We don't know, but it's there. Why? Because God knew that we were going to need it at this time to cover that space. Why? Because God knew we were going to get a screen to put in there when we don't know. Right? Every single detail is being addressed. But was it planned? Not 10 years ago or 15 years ago when that was changed. But it was all part of God's plan. Everybody listening, do their thing. And it's all for a reason. And at the fullness of time, you say, wow, only God. Only God. How is it that we figured that out? We didn't figure nothing out. Not a thing. But God figures it out. And when we are all connected and in sync, there is not a mistake ever made. everything lines up perfectly. And God is glorified. Amen? So with that, we'll end the study today. And so please be reminded, nothing is out of order in your life. You may think, this is a mistake. There are no mistakes in God. He causes all things to work together for good. Because he knows exactly what you need. What needs to be done. I thought I was done. But make this statement. Have you ever thought about the fact that everybody has what they need? Somebody may have a pair of pants like these, and those pair of pants cost $2,000. But somebody else has a pair of pants like that, and his cost $1. Everybody has something to meet the need they have in their lives. Now, this last statement I just made is very important. Because God will make provision for you based on where you are, what you're thinking, where you are in the strata of things. And so he'll make provision based on that. But provision you will have. It will satisfy what you wanted to do. I talked about this curtain just a moment ago. For somebody else, that's useless nonsense. I have the money. I'll buy something brand new there and do whatever it is I want to do and forget that. That's not a testimony to me. That may be true. But it's a testimony for me. Based on whatever it is that I have and I'm working with. And what God sees in all of that is, wherever you are, use what's in your hands. Use what's in your hand. You got a little stick? Use that. In faith, by faith. But whatever it is that you do, recognize that it's all by faith. He has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He's got a 5,000 hungry men issue. Even if we buy a whole year old amount of bread, wages, it's not going to be enough to feed these people. Does he have more than enough to take care of that? Yes. Did he have that amount of money in his pocket that very moment? Maybe not. But what did he have? He had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he solves the problem. That statement is to say this. No matter what your situation is, whether you have lots available or very little, recognize that God can use your lots or your very little to solve the problem. Whatever problem you're facing, just trust God. He will show himself strong in your life. Just trust him. I don't know who that word was for, but if that word is for you, please hear it. I was done already, and the Lord says, son, I want you to say this. So, I just pass that on to you. God has your back. And whatever it is that you need, he's still saying, what's in your house? What's in your hand? Whatever that is, it is more than enough to solve your problem. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the sufficiency that is in you. For Lord, it's not what we have, it is who you are to us that makes the difference. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ broke the bread and gave you thanks. And Father, you did the multiplication as they took that which was in their hands and began to serve the people before them. Lord, whatever it is that we need in these last days, may we recognize that you are still God. The God who said to Moses, what's that in your hand? This is just a rod. Then stretch it. And by the morning, the Red Sea was parted and they were able to cross over because you asked him, what's in your hand? You said to the woman, what do you have in your house? I just have a pot of oil. Okay, go borrow many. And she took of that pot of oil and began to pour and pour until every single vessel was filled. Lord, whatever we need to do to increase our capacity, we receive right now. Lord, every need we commit to you, that we may at all times be a people of faith, walking in full sight because of the entrance of your word that has enlightened us. Thank you, Lord, that even your word causes the simple to be very aware. We bless your holy name and will receive all grace to fulfill every mandate. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well,